Pfizer sends a very expensive bouquet to AstraZeneca, but the flowers just got rejected.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Constant Contact, whose toolkit of online marketing resources supports small business growth. Learn more at ConstantContact.com.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with a global perspective on business and economics. If the UK-based pharmaceutical company AstraZeneca ever says yes to Pfizer of the U.S., it'll be a gargantuan merger worth more than $100 billion. Soon after Pfizer sweetened its offer to buy AstraZeneca, the British company's board today rejected it, saying it's not enough. What management did not say was that there is no offer that would be acceptable, so the negotiations continue in a deal that could give Pfizer access to more cancer-fighting drugs. The BBC's Theo Leggett is following this from London. Morning, Theo.
Good morning, David.
We've covered some of the tax benefits possibly for Pfizer if this deal with AstraZeneca were to go through, but what else are they looking at? What are they trying to get out of this deal strategically?
They want the fruits of AstraZeneca's research and the patents that they've got in the pipeline because, you see, the pharmaceuticals business is extremely expensive, so companies are keen to trim costs where they can, exploit synergies, but what they also want to do is get hold of potential patents which might be valuable in the future. And when you look at AstraZeneca, they've got a lot of research going on which looks as though it could be very interesting for Pfizer.
And what about this? I guess we could call it a charm offensive. Pfizer has been making entreaties to British officials regarding this merger. What's going on?
This would be the biggest foreign takeover of a British company ever. And British politicians are worried that jobs might be lost in Britain as a result of this, that some of the pioneering research could be removed and taken away to the United States. So to address those concerns, the chief executive has said that the company's corporate and tax residence will be established in England. And this is in a way to try and preempt a wave of political reaction if there is a successful bid, which might attempt to derail it.
If there is a successful bid, the management is still quite leery at AstraZeneca about all this. The BBC's Theo Leggett, thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
We are very good in America at figuring out clever ways to move money around, but what about actually making stuff? When the April employment report comes out in about an hour and a half, we'll be looking to see, among other things, what happened with manufacturing jobs. There is big-time manufacturing in factories, but what about an emerging grassroots style of making things that's about craftsmanship, tinkering, and innovation involving things that you can actually touch? Here to talk about this maker movement in America is Jules Pierri, founder and CEO of a product launch platform called The Grommet. Jules, good to talk to you.
Thanks for having me.
So some of it is crafty stuff, Etsy things that would be sold on the site Etsy. But you're talking even beyond that.
Well, I'm looking at your headphones. They could be crafted by a maker. I mean, we've launched ourselves probably five or six different iterations of headphones. One of them actually was a student group out of Berkeley, and they noticed the problem that our cords get tangled in our bags. So they came up with a product that's basically a zipper. You know, the cord is a zipper, and it cannot be tangled. And these are, you know, two students at Berkeley coming up with this idea.
Yeah, it used to be fancy research labs, big corporations. You think of General Electric, you think of IBM. It's moved downward, more toward the grassroots, is what you're saying.
I've seen it very tangibly in my own career because I started out as an industrial designer. You had to be in a big company and extremely expensive equipment around you to get anything done. It was not accessible. 7 years ago, I went to an industrial design school to speak, and I saw 3D printers available to the students for $15 an hour. And it was mind-blowing. I would have been a different designer.
Now, some of this is a jobs story. People have worried for years about jobs going overseas for larger-scale manufacturing. But you're seeing some of this dreaming up of the new idea happening right here.
At the moment, 57% of American adults identify themselves as makers, and they're pumping $29 billion into the economy. If you think about how the software industry really blossomed, it was because the tools to participate became very accessible and cheap. Now, you have that same sort of creative drive, but it can be directed in two ways. You can do software, but hardware, as some people call it, or things, are accessible in the same kind of way that programming became accessible to ordinary people.
Jules Pierri is founder and CEO of The Grommet. Thank you very much.
Thanks, David.
Now, let's do the numbers. The FT 100 in London is up a tenth percent now. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are mixed ahead of the April jobs report.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing solutions to help grow and protect retirement income through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com. By Battelle, solving what matters most in national security, health and life sciences, energy, and the environment. More at Battelle.org. And by Citrix GoToMeeting, connecting people and businesses worldwide in face-to-face online meetings. More at GoToMeeting.com.
There should be a special word in the English language for that feeling of abject regret when at hotel checkout time you examine the bill and see those M&Ms you got from the minibar for $5.99. This feeling may account for why people avoid the minibar, and as Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports, why the in-room minibar is now an endangered species.
Why are minibars vanishing? You know, I know, and so does Kevin Carter with the travel planning website TripAdvisor.
In Las Vegas, a little bottle of vodka can cost you more than $14. And in Washington, D.C., if you want a bag of peanuts, be prepared to pay over $7.
A recent TripAdvisor survey found just 7% of U.S. travelers even remotely care about a mini bar in the room. Why spend $14 on a few ounces of Grey Goose when you can get a cocktail from a local tavern? Mark Woodworth with PKF Hospitality says mini bar revenue has fallen by nearly a third in recent years.
Particularly this next generation of traveler, you're spending less and less time in the room. The whole idea is, you know, I want to be with people.
That's why Woodworth says hotels have invested in their own bars and lobbies. What do guests actually want? Wi-Fi and electrical outlets. Loads of electrical outlets. And for that poor guy in need of a late night nip, best to bring a flask. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
And before we go, there's news that McDonald's is offering a free electronic book with Happy Meals, along with a coupon for a discount on a print book. This is McDonald's in Britain, where apparently people still read. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Yogurt for breakfast, pretty normal meal, right? But what if you had it for dinner?
I got one with mango and avocado on top of plain Chobani yogurt. And then there was another with plain yogurt with pesto and tomato and like pine nuts on it.
I don't know. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Savory yogurt next time on Marketplace from APM.